Each week, I try to set aside some time to be able to get outdoors, to go outside where I can enjoy nature. And this can be anything from a walk in a city park to a hike in a state park, maybe a bike ride along the Blackstone River, or even visiting a spot near the ocean. Inevitably, when I do these things, I see various creatures in their own contexts. I watch as these creatures are just themselves. They're doing exactly what God has created them to do. So in these times, I've enjoyed watching all manner of birds. I've seen rabbits, frogs, sea creatures, and of course, beautiful plants, many of them blooming, showing forth their glory. And as I encounter them, I just marvel how each creature has its purpose, has its way of being. Each one does what God intends. Each part of creation, in fact, I think, praises God by being itself as ordered by God. This also includes us as human beings. We also praise God by being who God creates us to be. We are creatures called to be in relationship with God, the Holy Trinity, with the triune community of love that is God. And we're called to live in relationship with God and with one another. And one of the chief ways that we praise God is by loving as God loves us. Loving so that we love God, ourselves, our neighbors, and all of creation. We praise God by being faithful and good stewards of the created order, lovingly caring for everything that God has made. But as I contemplate this, I also wonder if things might be more complicated for us than for other creatures. Because unlike other creatures, God has blessed us with intellect and free will. And so it's not always simple and straightforward for us to just be, to simply praise God by living as God intends. We constantly have choices to make. Moment by moment, we have to decide how we will act, what we will do, in fact, whom we will follow. Each day, the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge, Massachusetts, offers its daily word. It's a reflection, which I often find very helpful. And I have to say that there's a word that came through 3 years ago that I still remember often. It was called freedom. And I want to share what it said, and I quote, "God created us in his image with the capacity to love, and love requires freedom. And with our freedom, we have the capacity to do great evil as well as great good. God took a tremendous risk in making us." Unquote. That last line, "God indeed took a great risk in creating us," that resonates with me. Because God created us with the capacity to love, but also gives us freedom, gives us choice. And so we can choose whether to follow good or evil. We can choose even to reject God. And yet God does not coerce us. God allows us to make our choice. God invites us. God comes to us in Jesus, and God waits patiently for us, but God does not force our decision. God instead desires that we incline our hearts to God by an action of our own free will, by our choice, that we offer our love freely to God. In our lesson today from the book of Joshua, the people have such a choice to make. God appointed Joshua to lead the people of Israel after Moses died. For 40 years, the people have wandered in the wilderness. They've been tested by harsh conditions. God, through Moses and then following him through Joshua, faithfully led the people through this wilderness, caring for them along the way. And following Joshua, they have defeated other nations so that they can now take possession of the land that God will give them. Their wandering in the wilderness is about to cease as they enter that promised land. But before they enter it, Joshua gathers all the people of Israel at Shechem. And Joshua reminds the people of everything that the Lord God has done for them, beginning with calling Abraham and Sarah, creating a great nation from their descendants, though it was said they were unable to have children. How God delivered the people from slavery in Egypt. How God led them through the wilderness for 40 years, feeding and sustaining them. And how God has defeated their enemies in order to give them the land that they are about to enter. At this edge of the promised land, Joshua asks the people to choose whom they will serve. Will they serve the gods of Egypt? Will they serve the gods of the peoples whose lands they will enter? Or will they serve the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob? Joshua declares for himself and his household that he will serve the Lord God. And the people hearing this declare they will do the same, that they too will serve the Lord God who has delivered them. And so they promise that they will walk in the covenant that God made with them through Moses on Mount Sinai, that they will turn their hearts, their minds, their wills over to serving God. Now, what follows, the passage that we hear today, that we don't get to hear in this selection, is a description of a liturgy that follows the people's promise. It marks the choice that they make at Shechem. Joshua gathers the people so they can publicly declare their loyalty to God. They can affirm their covenant with God. And they do so by writing the words of this promise in the book of the law of God. And they set a large stone of witness under the oak in the sanctuary of God, in that place that God dwells with them through God's presence. This is a liturgy that affirms and ritualizes the promises the people make. Now, we don't have a stone of witness set to ritualize our choice to follow and worship God. But I think we do liturgically enact our commitment to God, and we do so regularly. Because we do so each time that we celebrate the Eucharist. The Eucharist is at the heart of who we are as God's people, as Christ's body in the world. It's at the heart of who we are as a people called, gathered, and formed by the Holy Spirit. While this is true, I do have to be honest with you that preaching on the Eucharist today feels odd. Because of the rain and the wind of Hurricane Henri, our outdoor Eucharist is canceled. We're not celebrating the Eucharist in this service. I'm saying this to you during the service of morning prayer. But if there's one thing that this pandemic has taught us, it's our need for flexibility and creativity. I mean, for how many months did we not even receive communion? We fasted from the Eucharist. And even now, we gather when we can, when the weather allows, but we can't do that every week. And even when we do gather outdoors, not everyone is with us physically in person. So many of you are with us virtually, watching the stream of our outdoor gathering. On top of this, the past 3 weeks, our scripture readings have been all about the Eucharist. And I don't want to ignore our scripture. And so I hope you understand as I preach about the Eucharist on a Sunday when we are not in any way gathered to celebrate the Eucharist, when we can be able, when we're able to celebrate this feast together. And I do this because I think the Eucharist is so important for us. And it's important for us to think about what happens when we gather to make Eucharist. And also, as I say these words to you, I hold on to that hope that again next Sunday, we will once again be celebrating the Eucharist. For when we gather for the Eucharist, we gather and we liturgically mark our declared choice to follow God. Like the people of Joshua's day, we too are called to choose whom we will serve. Will we follow the path of our society, treating our spiritual lives as personal, as a choice, as something individual we keep to ourselves? Will we place our trust in material possessions and wealth, seeing everything that we have as the fruits of our own individual effort and labor? Will we place our faith in military power and might, trusting that violence and domination somehow bring about right? Or will we choose God, the Creator of all, the one who loves us so profoundly as to come among us in the person of Jesus? Will we choose to follow Jesus, who loves us so deeply as to give his life for us, setting us free from the powers of evil and death? We make Eucharist as a community that promises that we follow Jesus. The liturgical rite that we enact each time we gather declares our choice for God, and it forms and strengthens us to live this choice. The ritual, liturgical action of the Eucharist affirms we are created by God and we are dependent on God for everything. We gather as a community called by God to live by thanksgiving, offering our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God. And in the Eucharist, we are fed by God. We're fed in Scripture when we hear the good news of God fulfilled in Christ through the Holy Spirit. We affirm that we believe in God when we say the Nicene Creed, proclaiming our faith and trust in God. We offer our prayers to God for the world, the church, those in need, for ourselves. We confess our sins, acknowledging that we are not perfect. We don't have all the answers, that we fall short of God's call and are in need of God's mercy and forgiveness. And we exchange the peace, that sign of reconciliation that affirms that nothing divides us, before we come to the altar to receive the bread and wine of the Eucharist, that visible and tangible sign of our unity in Christ. In the Eucharistic prayer, the Great Thanksgiving, we offer ourselves, our souls and bodies, as well as bread and wine from God's creation, and we give them in thanksgiving to God for all of God's gifts lovingly given us. The gifts that we offer are transformed by God, the bread and wine becoming the body and blood of Jesus, the presence of Jesus we take into our bodies, the heavenly food of the Eucharist that strengthens us to choose, moment by moment, day by day, to follow Jesus, opening our hearts and our wills to living by his love, becoming the people God creates us to be. In the Eucharist, we are transformed. We are formed into a people united in Christ, one body called to be Christ's presence in the world. In our gospel today, Jesus promises us, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me." In the Eucharist, we are united with Christ. In this sacrament, Jesus abides within us. We become what we receive. And like the bread and wine that are changed into his body, in receiving the sacrament of the Eucharist, we ourselves are changed into the body of Christ. The Eucharist is our prime offering of praise and worship to God, and in it we proclaim our love of God and our need of God's care and mercy and forgiveness. Our liturgical action is rooted in thanksgiving for all God's blessings given us. And in the Eucharist, we come together to be formed into God's people. And then at the end of the liturgy, we are sent out. We are sent out strengthened and renewed to love and serve God in all people we encounter, until that time we again experience the Eucharist and enact this liturgy that is indeed the foundation of our lives. In our gospel reading today, many people find Jesus' teaching difficult. Many stop following him. And Jesus asks his disciples if they also will go away. Peter answers, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Like the people of Joshua's day, and like the disciples of Jesus, we have a choice. Will we choose God? Will we go away from Jesus? Or will we choose abundant life in relationship with the Trinity? What Jesus asks of us can be difficult. It is demanding. It is sometimes in conflict with what the world tells us we should do, how the world tells us we should live. It may contradict what we feel like doing in any given moment. But the reality is, choosing to follow Jesus is the way of life abundant. Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the strength needed to say yes to this invitation. We have the strength to choose the path of true life. We are given the strength to follow this way for the eternity, the entirety of our earthly journey, until at the last we come to the fullness of joy in that heavenly banquet. And so let us choose, and may we say yes this day to Jesus' invitation. Amen.